Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
Super team, assemble. Welcome into an emergency edition of Fantasy Baseball Today. Very late on Thursday, December 21st. I am Frank Sanfield, joined by Scott White. And we've been waiting patiently to find out where Japanese phenom Yoshinobu Yamamoto would sign. And it turns out he'll be joining Shohei Ohtani and Tyler Glasnow on the Los Angeles Dodgers. What is the contract, you ask? Just a cool 12 years, $325 million, which gives Yamamoto the largest contract for a pitcher in MLB history, beating out Gerrit Cole by a mere $1 million. It's funny how that works usually, huh? Anywho, some quick background, Scott, and then I'll let you get into your spiel here on Yamamoto. 25 years old, he's been a phenom the past, really his whole career, but you look at the past 3 years in particular, he has had an ERA under 1.7 each of those years, winning the Sawamura Award, which is Japan's version of the Cy Young, and the league MVP in each of the past 3 years. So just amazing stuff, joining an awesome team, great run support. Your immediate reaction, Yamamoto to the Dodgers.
Well, a couple other tidbits to describe Yamamoto's greatness. You mentioned three consecutive MVP awards in the Pacific League of in Japan. The last player to do that, to win three consecutive Pacific League MVP awards, was Ichiro Suzuki. So, you know, it's not like that's a common thing in Japan. It's something that hasn't been done in a couple decades, and it was done by a pitcher this time. Yamamoto's numbers during that 3 year period: 9.5 K per nine, 0.88 whip, a 1.42 ERA over a 3 year period. And you know, a couple of those years he exceeded 190 innings. So like he's proven durable on top of everything else. When we've talked about Yoshinobu Yamamoto in the past, in recent weeks, we've referenced that scouting report Eno Saris, pitcher analyst extraordinaire Eno Saris, wrote for The Athletic just a couple of weeks ago. And the way he did it was he broke down the individual pitch characteristics for Yamamoto to kind of making comps for each of his pitches. And it reads like one of those articles that come out during like slow news periods where, what if we could assemble the perfect pitcher? It would have the fastball of this guy, the splitter of this guy. Well, that actually sounds like the way Eno Saris was describing Yamamoto. He compared his splitter to Kevin Gausman's, which is like the gold standard for that pitch. He compared his curveball to Max Fried and Seth Lugo. He compared his command to Zach Eflin and George Kirby, two pitchers who, I mean, walks per nine last year. Zach Eflin was 1.2 walks per nine, and George Kirby was 0.9. Let all the majors did Kirby. And that's what Eno Saris compared Yamamoto's command to. And that's not even to speak of the fastball, which peaks at 99 miles per hour and has the rising effect that that teams are looking for these days, a swing and miss offering in its own right. And then there's a cutter as well. So like Yamamoto, it sounds unfair, basically, that somebody like this could exist. And, you know, I guess that explains why the numbers in Japan were so phenomenal, why he comes so decorated. And get this, he's done all this, Yamamoto has, before even really entering his prime. He just turned 25 years old in August. So, I mean, I guess that's the justification for giving him a 12-year deal. Still an awfully long time for the pitcher, for a pitcher. I mean, Gerrit Cole's deal was over 9 years. This is over 12 years. But, you know, he won't even be 40 by the end of it, Will Yamamoto. So it's, of course, an unknown how that's all going to translate to the majors. There are a lot of complicating factors. But, I mean, we saw what Kodai Senga did last year with much clearer flaws than Yamamoto has, and not as complete an arsenal, not nearly as good a command as Yamamoto has. And you know, he was great, was Kodai Senga. He was somebody you wanted to start basically every time out, at least over the final 4 months or so. And I have him as a top 15 pitcher now going into this upcoming season based on what Kodai Senga did as a rookie. So if that's what Senga became in that first year adjusting to the majors, what's Yamamoto going to be? I mean, the sky's the limit. I could understand anyone ranking him as high as third. Seems ahead of Strider, ahead of Gerrit Cole. Yeah, that's a bridge too far, but it's understandable to me if you wanted to take Yamamoto third among starting pitchers. I'm going to play it more cautiously than that. I think there's a clear top seven, including Cole and Strider, Kevin Gausman, who, you know, was one of those pitchers, you know, Sarah's comped compared to Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He's my number three pitcher. And, you know, there's Corbin Burns, Zach Gallen, Luis Castillo, Zach Wheeler. Like all of those guys, they're just so bankable at that highly volatile position that I'd rather safeguard against the unknowns of Yamamoto, Yoshinobu Yamamoto in his first year in the majors. I'd rather safeguard against that by taking one of those guys over him. And you know, I love Tarek Skubal, so that's going to be hard for me to justify as well. But my point is, Yamamoto is right in that group. If you plan on drafting him in 2024, you have to draft him as if he already is a true ace. And it would hardly be a shock if he lived up to it.
Yeah, look, massive contract here for Yamamoto. 12 years, I think in part because he's 25 years old. We just don't see 25-year-old pitchers make it to the market here basically ever. So obviously that's part of the reason. I think the Dodgers also wanted to bring down that AAV, obviously, over 12 years. I think it comes out to like $27 million per year, which, again, is not as high as like a Gerrit Cole has gotten in the past, but it's still a massive contract for Yamamoto. Did want to put some numbers to that article that you mentioned from Eno Saris of The Athletic. Some of those comps that he made, just putting numbers to it. The fastball sits 95 miles per hour, topping out at 99. That was data from the WBC. And the physical characteristics of the pitch would make it a 92nd percentile fastball. The splitter earned a stuff plus rating of 155 in the WBC. Last year in Major League Baseball, there was no splitter that had a stuff plus rating of even 140. So just to put that in perspective, again, 155 for Yamamoto's splitter, no pitcher in baseball with a 140 among starting pitchers. And then the curveball, as you mentioned, elite spin rate and stuff plus rating that's similar to like Merrill Kelly and Seth Lugo.
It is worth putting that into the context of the balls feel different between the two leagues. I believe the ball in Japan that they use is tackier. So that would allow for more spin. So that is something to keep in mind, just because it would have been far away the highest spinning splitter, right? That's the number you cited.
It was stuff plus, and it was from the WBC. I don't know that were they using pre-tack baseballs in the WBC.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't even know that's true. Okay. Forget what I just said, but no, it's still a worthy point from like that is part of what he's adjusting to. Yeah, I'm not even sure more spin would be a good thing for a splitter. So just forget all that. But it is a different, like the way the ball actually feels in the hand is going to be different coming from one league to another, which is part of the unpredictability of making that shift. How well will he adjust to it? Will his stuff play exactly the same? Those are things we can't really know until we see it in action. But that data from the World Baseball Classic makes it feel safer than it otherwise would.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. When we return, we've told you all the amazing things about Yamamoto. Let's maybe talk a little bit about the downside, what the ADP looks like, because that has been on the rise. We'll talk about all that right after this. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. Homes.com offers in-depth neighborhood guides with detailed video overviews, comprehensive narratives, and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. You thought we'd go in-depth with player analysis on fantasy baseball today? You haven't seen anything yet. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. When looking at local schools, they offer test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Welcome back in again. Yoshinobu Yamamoto signing with the Dodgers. 12 years, $325 million. We talked about all the amazing stats and the pitches and the characteristics of those pitches. I think one of the clear negatives, Scott, is the size. Maybe not, but I guess that's something that people could point to. Yamamoto is listed at 5'10". And again, there have been pitchers that have succeeded at that height or even less than that in the past. But it is something that, you know, someone might point to and say, okay, that could be a potential downside. You pointed out his workloads. He's thrown 170-plus innings 3 years in a row. He's thrown 190-plus in two of the past 3 years. So maybe that isn't an issue. And, you know, the K per nine, right over a strikeout per inning, is that necessarily going to translate right away? I have some questions about that. Maybe I shouldn't, given like everything we just talked about. But
I think I'm right in saying this. I think strikeout rates tend to be higher in the majors.
Oh, they are.
Than in Japan.
They are.
Yeah.
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 So that's. Do you worry at all about?
It could get even better. Is the point? Like the one part of Yamamoto's stat line that you may kind of be like, eh, is that 9.5 K per nine over the last three seasons, but. It's likely to go up rather than down in the majors.
I did quickly look at Kodai Senga too, because his last 3 years in Japan, it was 10.9 K per nine, 9.4, 9.7. And then his first year in the majors here, 10.9. So it actually went up from where it was the past 2 years in Japan before Kodai Senga get here. Any worries about the size, Scott? 5'10" for Yamamoto.
Long term, I could see it being an issue, but like I said, he had back-to-back years with 193 innings, 2021, 2022. And then in 2023, he threw 171 innings, which is still an awfully big workload for today's game. And I take that as a good sign. I mean, it may catch up to him eventually, but I feel like we should take, given the way pitchers are handled these days, where you get all of these hybrid roles, guys following openers, guys working four innings at a time, max effort, and maybe never breaking through to true starting pitcher status. They may have all the talent in the world, but they don't get that chance really to break through and become the kind of starting pitcher we need them to be in fantasy. If a guy's proven he can do that, I take that as a good sign more than in the past we might have looked at that workload as a sign of trouble. Injuries could always happen. The changes in the feel of the baseball could lead to an injury for Yoshinobu Yamamoto, but he's proven to be durable so far. And certainly from a redraft context, you're drafting your team for 2024 and then drafting a new team and completely new team in 2025. I don't think the injury risk is worth worrying about.
Let's talk about this price tag, Scott. The ADP on Yoshinobu Yamamoto, it's on the rise. And I thought it was just like a December thing. Okay, people are learning more about Yamamoto. It really just coincides with that article that was released by Eno Saris, which we've talked a lot about, just breaking down the characteristics of each of his pitches. And it's so crazy. If you look at before that article came out, the ADP for Yamamoto was 74.5 as the 22nd starting pitcher off the board. Since it was released on December 12th, 60.1 as the 14th starting pitcher off the board. So moving up 14 spots and 8 pitcher spots for Yamamoto up to SP14. What do you think about the price tag?
I mean, I did the same thing in my own rankings for the same reason. It was basically that exact same start point and end point, Yamamoto in my rankings. And frankly, now that he's with the Dodgers of all teams and we know he's going to get all the win potential that comes with that, I'm tempted to move him up even more, as I was laying out earlier in this podcast, where, I don't know, there's the 7, there's Tyler Glasnow, who's also joining the Dodgers, there's Tarek Skubal, who I like. I might move Yamamoto up to 10th now.
Who do you have just ahead of Yamamoto?
It would be Skubal.
No, you already have him at 10?
Currently.
Yeah, currently. Yeah.
Okay, so currently, I believe I have Yamamoto 16th prior to making this change. Give me just a second to pull up the spreadsheet here. Logan Webb is currently who I have directly ahead of Yamamoto. And then ahead of him is Freddy Peralta. I feel like I got to take Yamamoto over him. Mm. And then ahead of that is Kodai Senga, who, you know, I was just saying is flawed compared to Yamamoto. So I feel like I got to take Yamamoto ahead of him too. And there's Pablo Lopez, Cole Reagans, who I'm higher on than the consensus. Blake Snell is 10th. Oof. So Blake Snell or Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Frank? Who are you thinking there?
I think I'll take Yamamoto, but I also think I'm just going to have Blake Snell a little bit lower than you. I don't think I would take Yamamoto ahead of
I know you'll have Cole Reagans lower. So yes. Who do you think you won't take him ahead of?
I was going to say, I don't think I would take him ahead of Pablo Lopez. I think that's kind of... But being around Tarek Skubal and Glasnow, I feel like that kind of makes sense, right? Because there is some risk with those guys. You know, we haven't seen them do it over, you know, 150 plus innings in the past. We haven't seen Yamamoto in the majors yet. So it kind of feels like that's the right range for him to fall into. So somewhere in that, like Glasnow, Skubal, Pablo Lopez, Yamamoto. Yeah, I think probably like 10 to 12. I think that makes sense as a ranking for him. In case you're wondering, what does the Dodgers rotation look like at the moment? So we know they traded for Tyler Glasnow. Now they signed Yamamoto. Walker Buehler is coming back from his second Tommy John surgery. Bobby Miller is their SP4. Think about that. Like, just a few weeks ago, Bobby Miller was their SP2. Now he's their SP4. And Emmett Sheehan penciled in as their SP5. And, you know, they still have some depth pieces. They can, you know, they could kind of go with Sheehan and Ryan Yarbrough if they want to. Whatever. Either way, no matter how you look at it, this rotation is amazing, and guess what? It's going to be even better in the future when they get Shohei Ohtani back next year as a pitcher. So, oh my goodness. Just to think about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers' biggest flaw last year was their starting rotation, and they won 100 games. And now they've turned that flaw into a strength. I think that if there is a downside to this signing, this Yamamoto signing for fantasy purposes, it's that the Dodgers have a lot of interesting young arms that they introduced over the course of last season as they were struggling to fill out their rotation. And now they're blocked from me. I imagine Emmett Sheehan has more or less locked up that fifth starter job because he was the most impressive of those who still remain. Ryan Pepiot, of course, was moved in the Tyler Glasnow deal. But you know, now there's no opportunity for Gavin Stone to break in on opening day, or Kyle Hurt, who I liked a lot and talked about in our last podcast, looking at at looking at pitcher prospects. Nick Frasso is another one.
Yeah. They got some names.
They got some names. Yeah. And their draft value will go down in response to this, since there's not the opening. But I will point out Walker Buehler's coming back from his second Tommy John surgery. Tyler Glasnow is not exactly a model of durability himself. Career high 120 innings this past year. So there will be opportunities for those younger pitchers still. At some point, Clayton Kershaw is going to come back. We can't forget that.
He's a free agent, actually, Scott.
Well, I think the expectation is he'll
probably will sign with the Dodgers, but it's not a guarantee, I guess. But that would make sense, right? Like, they could have Emmett Sheehan just kind of empty the clip and be their fifth starter for the first half of the season, and then they bring in Kershaw, and he's just their SP5 for the second half. It's crazy. And it could work out that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just thinking as you were saying that, like, okay, so Yamamoto, Glasnow, Buehler, Bobby Miller, and next year, they're going to have Shohei Ohtani to add to the rotation.
Disgusting. Oof. Mm. Man.
Yeah.
Look, it's a good time to be a Dodgers fan. I know a lot of fans of the game are going to complain, super team this, that. Look, in baseball, there's still a lot of variance. The best team does not always win, so I don't want to hear any of that. I'm a Yankees fan, and yes, I'm upset that they didn't get Yamamoto, but it's not just the best team always wins in baseball. In fact, it rarely ever happens that way. On paper, they should win. They are the betting favorites to win the World Series. But it doesn't always work out that way, Scott. So let's see how the games play out and see how every team looks by the time we get to the playoffs. Who's left on the market, in case you're wondering, and in case you are a fan of the Yankees, the Mets, the Phillies, the Red Sox, all these teams that missed out? Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Shota Imanaga, who is also coming over from Japan, a little bit older, 30 years old, left-handed pitcher, doesn't throw as hard. But by everything I've read and, you know, watched some scouting videos on him, seems like he's a pretty accomplished pitcher as well. Marcus Stroman is out there, Lucas Giolito, and then we have the trade market, which features Dylan Cease, Shane Bieber, and maybe Corbin Burns. I've read some stuff. It sounds like maybe the Brewers might be pulling back a little bit on shopping Corbin Burns, but my expectation is that Dylan Cease will be traded this offseason, and probably Shane Bieber. So there still are some pitchers out there, Scott, and lots to happen still. I mean, so hopefully this will kind of set things off and we can get the rest of the free agent market moving.
Yeah, I think this was holding it up. The fact that Blake Snell is the biggest name left, right? The fact he's a Scott Boras client, it wouldn't surprise me if that goes on a couple more months. So it may still be slow moving, but this is a big roadblock, I guess, that has now been cleared for more off-season activity to happen.
All right. Well, again, the big news, Yoshinobu Yamamoto signing with the Dodgers, 12 years, $325 million. We're going to wrap there for Scott. I am Frank. Thanks, as always, for watching and listening to Fantasy Baseball Today. And we'll be back again next week. Bye-bye. Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.